evening again, everyone. You're very, very welcome. Hope you enjoyed the time of praise and the worship. I wonder how many of us have already said, "Oh, thank God, that's over." Not the praise and worship. I'm talking about Christmas. I've said it already. I think I said it about 1 minute past midnight. "Oh, thank God, that's over." Glad to see the flaming back of it. I hate it. But anyway, let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that Christmas is over as far as all of the materialism and glory to God in the high street is concerned. All the consumerism, Lord God, that so often can consume us. But thank you that for us, Christmas is every day because we celebrate Jesus. And we love Jesus, and we love the fact that not only did he come into this world to die for our sins, but he's come by the power of the Spirit to dwell within us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Lord, thank you that we can celebrate that wonderful truth every day of the year. And we want to thank you for 2019, for your faithfulness to us, Lord God, as a fellowship and to us as individuals. You didn't tell us, Lord, that 2019 would be without any problems. You didn't tell us, Lord, that there wouldn't be heartache, there wouldn't be challenges. But you know what? Father, we're still here. Because you, Lord God, uphold us by your right hand. And we thank you, Almighty God. And tonight we just really do thank you for the opportunity to celebrate you, to celebrate Jesus, to celebrate your Holy Spirit. Speak to us now, Father, please, through your living and active word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in our God show, poor Anne, I'm not going to pick on Anne. Jackie warned me last week, "Stop you picking on my wife." Poor Anne, because she says to me at night, "Oh, I'm glad it's over. Not have to hear any more about it." And I says, "Well, actually, you will. Because this is the last week of it." In our God Showed Up series, we've been trying to get people to understand the most important thing about Christmas is not Christmas or Chrismon trees. That's a Chrismon tree, for those who don't know, is the so-called Christmas tree with religious symbols to try to make it more acceptable. It's still a pagan symbol as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, you can call it whatever you like. Christmas is not about Christmas or Chrismon trees. It's not about tinsel and turkey or presents and culinary pleasures. Certainly not in my house. It's not simply about family get-togethers and partying. Neither is Christmas about when and where Jesus was born. Was it the 25th of December? I very much doubt it. Was he born in some dank, dirty stable out the back of some local motel in Bethlehem? Absolutely not. If Christmas is to have any real significance, any real purpose or meaning, it is this, that God showed up. God showed up into this world keeping his promise to come and rescue his people from the reign of Satan, sin, and death. Now, God gave that promise way back in the Garden of Eden. He told the serpent, "I am going to send one, the seed will come who will crush your head." There was the first promise that God was saying, "I'm sending a savior who's going to sort all this out." And some years later, Jesus arrived on the scene, born as a babe in Bethlehem. And it tells us, because God showed up, that God is a faithful God. And God will keep his promises. And therefore, all of the promises that he has made to you from his word, he will keep, because he is a faithful God. God showed up into this world, keeping his promise to come and rescue his people from the reign of Satan, sin, and death. Well, each week in our series, I've ended my message with the same questions. Does Jesus have any place in your heart or any part in your Christmas celebrations? And being the last of our God Showed Up series tonight, I want to ask you, because Christmas, thank God, is over for another year, did Jesus have any place in your heart or any part in your Christmas celebrations? I sat around the table and I warned the boys, "Don't even think eating that turkey till I prayed." "You never do this any other time of year." "I don't care, it's Christmas." "And I pray." And one of them had already started munching and was trying to pretend that he wasn't. But I could see it stuck in his mouth, so I thought, "I'm going to make a big long prayer until he chokes." But they were sort of, didn't know what to do. And I just said, simple prayer, and thanked the Lord. And I says, "You know, Lord, thank you just for who you are. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for these boys around this table that I can share this with them. But above all, just thank you for Jesus coming into this world." and then we get into the turkey. So, did Jesus have any place in your heart or any part in your Christmas celebrations? If you can't answer yes to this, then you've missed the significance and the real purpose and meaning of Christmas. Perhaps by missing the significance and the meaning of Christmas, you just don't realize what you're missing out on and the potential implications it has for you. So let me just be clear about this. If you can't answer yes to, did Jesus have any part in your heart or in any place in your heart or any part in your celebrations, if you can't answer yes, then you've missed the significance, the real purpose and the meaning of Christmas. And perhaps by missing the significance and the meaning of Christmas, you just don't realize what you're missing out on and the potential implications it has for you. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 says these words, "And she will bring forth..." So here is the angel speaking. In fact, it's the angel speaking to Mary, to Joseph about his wife. "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So the name Jesus means exactly what it says, that he will be the Savior. Jesus, Yeshua, the Savior. "He shall be called Jesus. You shall name him Jesus, for he," Jesus, "will save his people from their sins." So the angel of God spoke in this dream to Joseph, Mary's husband-to-be, and he told him, not only Mary is pregnant, but he said, "Listen, she is going to bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. You shall call him your Savior. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Some years later, the Apostle Paul writes, after the death and the resurrection of Jesus, he writes these words to his protege, Timothy, and he says this, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." There's nothing complicated here. You shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because he, Jesus, will save his people from their sins. He grows up, he becomes an adult, he has a ministry for 3 years, he gets crucified, he dies, he gets put into the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. 3 days later, he rises up, and sometime after that, he ascends to heaven, he sits down at the Father's right hand, and some years after that, Paul writes these words, "This is a faithful saying, and it is worthy of all acceptance." It's saying to every person out there, not just to the Christian, but to the unbeliever, this is a trustworthy saying. This is worthy of absolutely all acceptance. Forget about everything else in life. This is the most important thing that you need to accept, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what Christmas is all about. It's about Jesus, who is God in the flesh, God become a man, coming into this world to save his people from their sins, to save sinners. But what does that actually mean? As you can tell, I'm starting to get excited as we get to it. What does that actually mean? Well, I want to emphasize what it means for those sinners who realize that they need to be saved. And they've realized it, and they have humbly come to Jesus for salvation. Jesus coming into this world to save his people from their sins, to save sinners, means this. Those who trust in him, first, those who trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone for salvation, receive forgiveness for all of their sins. That means past, present, and future. Your debt, as far as sin is concerned, is wiped out. Jesus has paid the debt in full. There is no demand from God for you for sins. Those who put their trust in Jesus receive forgiveness for all of their sins. Secondly,
They are justified in God's sight. And that means for the individual, and we've all heard it many times, it means just if I'd never sinned. In God's eyes, it is just as if you have never sinned. When God looks at you because you put your trust in Jesus, he doesn't see sin because your sin has been forgiven. It has been cleansed. It has been cast as far as the east is from the west. It has been thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. You are justified in God's sight. Thirdly, we have peace with God. This is so important. We have peace with God. There is a big difference between peace with God and the peace of God. Everybody can at different times in their lives experience something of the peace of God, but only those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation know what it is to have peace with God. And that peace can never be altered. You may experience the peace of God, Christian, flowing into your life 1,000 times a day, but you may not experience it for months. But that never changes the fact that you have, because of Jesus, peace with God. Then we are told, because we trust in Jesus, because we believe in that babe who was born in Bethlehem, who would grow up into that ministry of 30 years of age at 33, being crucified and died, we are told that we are reconciled to God. That means that we are brought together with God, that he now holds us in his hand and he will never let us go. He has us cherished in his hand. We are special, peculiar people. We are treasures to him, held in his hand. We are reconciled to God. But much more still to come. Those who trust in Jesus, we are told, are born again by the Holy Spirit. That means you cannot be unborn again. Once you are born again, once you are dead, and then you are born again, you cannot be unborn again. You are born again, and you are forever born again by the Holy Spirit of God. But still more to come. You then receive the righteousness of God. So all of your sin, all of your filth and vileness, and every act of rebellion, and everything that you do in opposition to God, every time you give in to the indwelling sin, every time you cave in to the enemies who are tempting you, every sin in your life, past, present, and future, as far as God is concerned, Jesus has borne it all in his body on the tree, and as a result of you trusting in him, he gives you the righteousness of Jesus. He gives you the righteousness of Jesus. And God's not going to say when you piss him off one day, oh, well, I want to take that back. I want to take that back because you've really angered me, because you've let me down. When God says, here is my righteousness, it is yours for all eternity. Then we're told, and there's more. What do you call that wee man? It's just say, and there's more, and there's more. Who is it? Jimmy Cricket, and there's more. And there's more. Not only do we receive the righteousness of God, we're told we are adopted into God's family. We become children of the living God. And God loves his children dearly. And God, as a father, disciplines those whom he loves. And he brings us up in the ways that he wants us to live. We are adopted into God's family, and we are made co-heirs with Jesus. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who came into this world to die for our sin, who bore all of our sins in his body on the tree, we get his righteousness, and we are adopted into God's family and are made the same as Jesus. We are co-heirs with Christ Jesus, although he has the name which is above all names, and rightly so. Jesus coming into this world to save his people from their sins, to save sinners, means those who trust in him, because there's more, those who trust in him have access to God's grace always. You have access to God's grace always. Not just when you feel good, not just when we're singing nice songs and you really feel holy and godly, when you feel like scum, when the enemy has ground you down, when you feel like you can't live the Christian life. You have access to God's grace all the time because you are a child of God. He will never turn his back on you. He will never turn his face away from you. He will always have his arms wide open to receive you if you will come to him. You have access to God's grace always. You are made eternal citizens of his kingdom. You are citizens of the kingdom of God. Although you are in this world, you are not of this world. You belong to another world. You are otherworldly because you are citizens of the kingdom of God. And you are made such, and you cannot be a citizen of the kingdom one day and jump the next into the kingdom of hell or anything. You can't do that. It's not like Brexit, you know, we'll all apply for an Irish passport. It's not like that. We're British one day, but we don't like how things are going. I'll get an Irish passport. You can't do that. You are made a citizen of the kingdom of God. You are made a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and you will always be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. But better still, when you trust in Jesus, when you look to him to save you, it means that you receive the Holy Spirit of God to dwell in you and to sanctify you. It's not your job to make yourself holy. You can't do it. You have the Spirit of God who comes to dwell in you, and it is his job, and we work with him as he sanctifies us and makes us holy. And he will continue that work until the day of Jesus Christ, until the day we pop our clogs and go to be with the Lord, or until the Lord returns. He will continue that job, that work of sanctification in us. The Holy Spirit is God's down payment of the promises that he has made. He is the guarantee from God to us, I'm going to keep all of my promises to you. And then, we have every need in this life. Every need in this life supplied by God. For my God will supply your every need. Not just the odd time when you need. Now, God knows the difference between need and want, and thank God that he does. But he tells us, I will supply your every need. Isn't it amazing? And that's before we even get to what you get next. You have everlasting life. You have no reason to fear Clandeboy Cemetery. You have no reason to fear Roselawn. Because even if you go into the grave, even if you get burned in the crematorium, you have everlasting life. Because of Jesus, he is the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if they die, even if they go into Clandeboy Graveyard, even if they go to Roselawn and get burned, even because you have trusted in me, even though you die, yet shall you live. Why? Because he promised you and he gave you everlasting life. And the Holy Spirit who dwells within you is a guarantee of that truth. Then he tells us this, you shall be made perfect. Well, you can see, looking at me, I'm nearly there. I wish. But here again is God speaking. He says, because you trust in Jesus, because you look to him to save you and to him to save you and to trust in him and in him alone, you have everlasting life. How incredible is that? It's hard to believe. But you want to understand it when you're standing at a graveside and watching someone's coffin going down into the grave and knowing of the hope that is in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, that even when my time comes, even when your time comes, you can say it, or someone can say it, even though they die, yet shall they live. But there's more. You shall be made perfect in Jesus. And that means there is a day coming when up from the grave, whatever way you want to look at it, absent from the body, present with the Lord, whatever way, there is a day coming when you will receive a new resurrection body. It is a body that cannot die. It is a body that cannot experience pain. It cannot know sin. It can't have any of those problems whatsoever. And you shall be perfect. How incredible is that? And you know the thing is we can't comprehend it because we don't know what perfection is. We can look to perfection and see it in Jesus, but we could never reach that standard. And we're marred by sin. We're tainted by sin. But he promises there is a day coming when we shall be made perfect. And then finally, for those who trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone to save them, they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How beautiful. How beautiful it is to know that this world is not our home. And you know, you maybe want to hold on to it as long as you possibly can because there are people that you love and you don't want to leave behind, or people that you want to share the gospel with, or things that you want to do for God, or maybe that God wants you to do for him. But the reality is, we have a better home. We have a greater home. And we who trust in Jesus shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now let me ask you a simple question. In the light of all of the Christmas malarkey, is that not something to celebrate? On this last Sunday night of 2019, those of us who know and love Jesus for coming into this world to save his people from their sin, to save sinners, we really have something to sing about. We really have something to celebrate, but we don't have to do it just on the 25th of December. You know, this is what, the 29th, and we're still doing it. And we're going to be doing it next week, and we'll be doing it for the next year, and hopefully for the next decade, God willing. We'll be celebrating Jesus coming into this world. It doesn't mean that we haven't faced heartache or hardship or other trials in 2019, or that we won't face heartache and hardship or other trials in 2020. But no matter what he started, Jesus will, in his time, bring us safely home. We have the complete assurance of Jesus that no matter what may befall us, he will finish what he started and he will bring us home. We celebrate God our Father for sending his Son Jesus to save us. We celebrate Jesus because he came into the world to save us. We celebrate the Holy Spirit because he revealed this wonderful truth to us. God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are to be praised. Hallelujah. And thanks be to God for Christmas, whenever it is. Perhaps you're not yet a Christian. Perhaps you've missed the significance and the meaning of Christmas. Perhaps you just didn't realize what you're missing out on. Well, let me advise you briefly of the potential implications this has for you. By missing out on the significance and the real meaning of Christmas, Christ Jesus coming into the world to save sinners, it's this simple. If you don't accept that Jesus came into the world to save his people from their sins, if you don't trust in him, then you don't have forgiveness for all of your sins, past, present, and future. You are not justified in God's sight. You have no peace with God. You are not reconciled to God. You are not born again by the Holy Spirit. You have not received the righteousness of God. You are not adopted into God's family. You are not a child of God. If you don't accept Jesus came into this world to save his people from their sins, if you don't trust in him, then you do not have access to God's grace. You are not made an eternal citizen of his kingdom. You do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, sanctifying you. You will not have every need supplied by God. You do not have everlasting life. You should be terrified of the grave. You shall not be made perfect, and you will not dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those who miss the significance and the meaning of Christmas don't realize what they're missing out on and the potential implications that it has for them. And believe me, that really is not something to celebrate. Do you really want, seriously want, to travel into 2020 in your unbelief, in your rejection of Jesus, with all of its awful potential implications? Well, the good news again tonight is this: God showed up in Jesus into this world to save sinners like you and like me, and his salvation is available tonight to anyone who wants it. All you have got to do is confess your sin, agree with God that you are a sinner, repent, turn around and turn away from your sin, and trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone as the Savior of his people, that he might save you. Let's pray. Father, tonight, Lord, we could have rhymed off many, many of the promises that those who trust in Jesus receive. And you're a faithful God, and you will fulfill every one of those promises toward your people. But tonight, at the end of this year, and as Christmas comes to a close, we want to thank you for Jesus coming into this world to save sinners such as us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who enabled us to recognize the sinfulness of our sin and our need of salvation. And thank you that he pointed us to Jesus, because there is no other name under heaven by which men and women can be saved except Jesus. And Lord, thank you that many of us in this hall tonight, many watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast, trusted in Jesus and continue to trust in him and in him alone to save us. And we have all of those promises that will be kept because of him. We pray tonight, Father, for anyone in this hall, anyone watching on Facebook or listening to our podcast that's not yet a believer. And I put it to you again. Do you want to go into 2020 knowing all of the awful potential implications there are for you if you continue to reject Jesus? Jesus loves you. Jesus has demonstrated his love toward you in that he came into this world and died to pay the price for your sin so that you wouldn't have to. Will you tonight accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and go into 2020 celebrating Jesus every day of the week? Lord, thank you for the full salvation that we have in Jesus. Thank you that in Jesus, God showed up into our world. Amen.